Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
That is hammered! Oh my!
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far, I'd have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
High drive! Left field! It is out of here!
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
You're listening to The Roundtable with Grant Brisby, Andy McCullough, and Mark Carrig on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode number 42 of the Athletic Baseball Show Roundtable. I'm Grant Brisby. I'm here with Andy McCullough and Mark Carrig. And gentlemen, how are you doing? Mark, let's start with you.
Doing fine. Glad to be here. Excited the season's almost here, so that's a good thing.
Heck yeah. Andy, how you doing?
Mark, I called you Mark. Wow. I am out of sorts. Grant, I'm great. You said something really interesting off mic. You said you thought the WBC sucked, and you really wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. It's been a hot button of mine. Come on. You're going to get me in trouble. I'm a booster, man.
You were talking about how this exhibition is a huge waste of time, and it should never happen again, right? That's what you said?
I said that, but that's just because I'm such a patriot that when America doesn't win at all, like I lose my head. And so that's the reason.
As our colleague Rustin Dodd put it to me recently, the only thing that got hurt worse than poor Edwin Diaz's knee was all the straw man arguments for people. It was great. The WC was great.
It
was a great time. It was several weeks ago at this point.
Yeah. Mark, did you enjoy some World Baseball Classic?
I thought it was good, and it's going to be great. Like, it's getting better. Like, you know, I don't want to tamp down people's enthusiasm for it, because I think on the whole it was awesome, right? But let's look at that championship game for a second. And this is the thing I was thinking about as watching it. And again, I'm not a WBC hater. Like, I enjoyed it. The next level is when that game is being decided by Justin Verlander. And again, I don't want to hate on the people who pitched in that. Like, that's not...
Yep.
Chiron,
yep.
Says
here it is.
The WBC. But like, you know, I think it's more about what would happen if we took all of this enthusiasm that people had in the moment and that translated into what we actually saw top to bottom on the rosters, right? Like an actual dream team. I'm looking for the 92 moment, basically, right? When they're like, okay, the American team was tired of getting beat at the Olympics, right? And like, send the pros, let's go. And I kind of want to see what would happen if you were able to do that for every spot on the roster or come really, really close at least. And I think obviously with the lineup, it's a lot closer than what they have with the arms. And I think that's, you know, this is where to me it's like a really good event and it's a lot of fun. The next step is, all right, do we get more of these folks? And I know the reasons why that's going to be difficult. I don't need to hear. I know. But that's sort of my take, my old take. not even hot take on the WBC.
But I think it's getting there. Like totally. Sam Miller had a great essay about the WBC, and he brought it all the way back to the start of the World Series, because when the World Series started and you've got this meeting of the two leagues, it's not as if everyone's like, oh my God, a World Series. This is incredible. Like, it took a little time to ramp up and for people to go, oh, okay, no, this rules. And I think that's going to happen with the WBC. I think you will start to get your dream teams on all sides, and it's going to be fun. It's already fun.
I'll tell you what. You know what that game reminded me of? Game 7 of the 2014 World Series, when a Superman came out of the bullpen to finish the job. You know, against Madison.
A two-way player.
A two-way player, Madison Bumgarner, you know, who has hit many home runs. I just wanted to hit the bell. I don't know if we're going to hit the bell otherwise this week.
I forgot.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah.
I forgot it.
Yeah, we could riff. I actually kind of disagree with Mark, but we could go through this for a while. Let's just move on.
Yeah, because we're supposed to be previewing the AL East today. That is our task. The AL East is a fun division to talk about. Last time we talked about the AL Central, different kind of fun. But we were talking off air. Our brand is Coastal Bias.
Yes.
It's hard for us to imagine that there's something in the middle of this great country of ours. Because to me, it's kind of like this horseshoe shape a little bit. Now, I think it goes along the top through Canada, kind of like some sort of arch, like some sort of big metal arch. They should make some sort of monument that in the shape of an arch somewhere. You know what I mean?
To the fine folks.
That's how little I think about the central. Anyways,
to the fine folks in the Midwest, Mark Carrig does not approve this message. Just I want to make that clear. Go on, Grant.
I'm teasing. Andy's got a well-known connection with the Royals. But we are talking AL East today, and we are going to do it in reverse order. This is how we've been doing our league preview or divisional previews. It's kind of like, do you guys ever see the movie Go?
I mean,
the movie Go?
Probably like when I was 11 years old. The one with Ethan Embry?
Only 90s kids will remember. Timothy Oliphant is in it. The Justified star. And he has this bit about how he hates the family circus because you're reading your comic section, and then in the middle, in the bottom corner, is the family circus just waiting to suck. And that's why we start with the worst team in the division every time, because it's the family circus of the division. But I will say, we're going to start with the Red Sox. I don't think the Red Sox are as bad. They might be the best worst team. I'm trying to think if there's a better worst team. I mean, no, I think it's the Red Sox.
I think they're the only team who will probably finish fifth, who if they made the postseason, you'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, look at the Rock. They have good players.
There you go. That's a good way to explain it.
I think they are certainly like one of the most interesting teams, in part because no one's totally sure what they're trying to accomplish. I think they've been working towards maybe trying messaging that a little bit better since the winter, after they, kind of biffed the Xander Bogaerts discussions. And then kind of pivoted to throwing just a boatload of money at Rafael Devers. They made a bunch of moves where they brought in, intriguing players, I think. But you still kind of look at it, you look at the division, and it's kind of like, look at the pitching staff. Fifth place, feels like. But 87 wins, why not? I mean, look at it, they're good players.
This is the team that best illustrates one of my favorite baseball-isms when you're talking to scouts. And they'll say something like, if you squint...
Yeah. I was actually going to say that.
If you look at the Boston Red Sox roster, baby, you can squint your way into the playoffs, okay? You really could. You squint, turn your head, look at it sideways, pull out the magnifying glass, and you can talk yourself into saying, you know what? Duvall's going to be fine running around in center field. You can talk yourself into, Justin Turner has got plenty left. You know what? Kike Hernandez is so useful still. Like, you can go on and on with this roster. You can squint in that rotation for the Boston Red Squints, as they're awesome. Saying. You look at that. Oh, man, if these guys stay out of the hospital, it's going to be pretty good. So, they're the classic, man, if you just squint, you can dream on him like that. And so I think it's intriguing. Yeah, absolutely. Their range of outcomes is so wide. I think that makes it a lot of fun. But yeah, they're the all-star squinting team of the season for me. Like that is, you know, squint, look sideways, whatever. Like you can basically talk yourself into thinking that they're not going to be in last place, which I think is a lot of fun.
This is like an excellent exercise because I'm squinting at their roster right now and they got Trey Turner and I forgot about that. Oh no, that's Justin. That's Justin. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts the eyes. No, I totally agree. It's the range of, they are such a wild ceiling, such a wild floor. I am incredibly Masataka Yoshida pilled. Like I freaking love that guy. I love his swing decisions. I love his swing. I think he's incredibly fun. I know that that's a very divisive contract, that there's a lot of people who said, oh, why? What are the Red Sox doing? Are you nuts? I am all in on him. I think he is going to be a whopper of a player. He was excellent in the WBC. So if he is the guy that I've built him up in my mind, maybe you're not so concerned about Adam Duvall hitting fifth. So, you know, that sort of thing.
Or yeah. Running around in center field.
Yeah, well, he's a Gold Glover, man. Once upon a yore.
Yeah, Yoshida, I think, is an interesting bellwether for this team because, as you pointed out, Grant, like, there was a pretty divisive reaction. That contract was divisive, right? Some people were like, oh, that guy, you know, that guy could be an all-star. And people were like, they gave $90 million to that gentleman? Like, what? You know, looked great in the WBC, you know, has great contact skills, as you mentioned, the swing decisions. It's just going to be a matter of, like, the power, the schedule, you know, facing new pitchers. Is this a, you know, I saw Zips has him at, like, 300, 380, 480?
Hell yeah.
What?
Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like,
you check out his NPB numbers. They're bonkers.
Yes, I understand. It's a different league. But yes, like, you know. And there's an adjustment period. I mean, I don't. Yeah. But again, if you squint and that guy is like an 850 OPS player or whatever 380 plus 480 is, like. Yeah, okay, all right, like 87, 88 wins. I just think the pitching is short. The starting pitching is short. But then again, like, Chris Sale's been up to, like, 96 this spring. And he's Chris Sale. He's the best pitcher to never win the Cy Young. Like,
okay. Like we're literally doing it.
Yeah,
we are talking we're ourselves. Like, we're going to go back in the end, but you know what? Red Sox number one. Like, we're done squinting. Wait, we see it now, guys. We see it all. Let's go. I mean,
are they a threat to win the pennant against the Twins? That's a throwback to
the round table heads are nodding right now. Yeah.
Alex Verdugo is such a good player. The Red Sox traded Mookie Betts for him.
He's got a... Oh, man. But I do think the pitching is You know, you've already got... James Paxton is hurt. It's a hamstring, right? It's not something spooky. But it sort of just gives you an idea of, like, right. You're talking about Corey Kluber, who's 37. You've got Chris Sale. They're going to be scrambling at some point. Every team is when they have five healthy, robust starters usually. But when you start the season with a little bit of a rickety Jenga tower, it doesn't take too much to push it over. All right, are we moving on to our next team? Is it the Orioles? Are we doing Orioles next? Baltimore Orioles, the most watchable fourth place team, perhaps? Like, they're my MLB TV team. Like, that is the team I sit down, there's 12 games on at the same time, and I go, and I'm going to watch the Orioles just because I like Rutschman and all the youth that they got going on. I guess I'm supposed to learn what a Ryan Mountcastle is, but like Gunnar Henderson, you know, they've got so much talent and they should be a ton of fun to watch.
Man, Ryan Mountcastle, all he does is produce, actually, right? Like, isn't that funny? Like, no one thinks of it, and yet, like, he's probably going to hit, like, 30 bombs, and, like, it won't be discussed at all, and, like, it'll be, you know, in the context of all these young guys just, like, killing it. And, like, so if the Red Sox were the squinting team, right, like, this is what the scouts would call, you dream on these guys, right? Gunnar Henderson and et cetera, you know, and so some of the guys they've got still that are coming. So this is the dream on team, and those are fun too. I think it's really more a commentary on the division that we're picking them fourth, than anything else, because if you plug these guys in the American League Central, they're not finishing fourth. I don't see that. So, you know, they're going to have to grow up and continue taking steps forward. And as we know with younger players, that is not a given, right? Like, there's going to be regression baked into this. But, man, they're going to be fun to watch. They're on the right track. They've got a lot of talented guys, and they're all starting to come, arrive on the roster. They've got a difficult mountain to climb because the other teams in this division are pretty darn good.
In the sort of Ryan Mountcastle folder, I saw during the WC, Anthony Santander hit a homer, and on the screen it flashed that he had hit 33 in the previous year. And I thought, was he in the KBO? Like, what? Yeah, he was really good last year in the majors for the Orioles. And I just sort of, yeah, you know. I think for such a long time, right, because the Orioles, trying to think of a more charitable way to say bad faith, but they were hard tanking, like hard tanking. And they were doing it in such a way that they were more or less unwatchable, right? That I think myself, like a lot of people, had really snuck up on me last year as a non-Orioles head who's like aware of the picks they're making and aware of the general idea of where it's going, but not like, you know, ravenously tracking what's going on in their minor league system, that when all of a sudden you look up during last summer and they are competent, it was a bit shocking because they had been the exact opposite for the preceding like four seasons or whatever, right? And you just kind of like, I only have so much bandwidth. I just sort of don't, you know, pay attention to it. And so to see it like actually start to look like what they think it's going to look like is very interesting, I guess. It's very intriguing. You know, the rotation, again, a bit short. Their two best pitching prospects, Rodriguez and DL Hall. Right? Please don't tell me he's a third baseman. That's going to be really embarrassing.
I got to look at it.
Come on. Please get this right, Andy. One time National Baseball writer. He's a pitcher.
Got him.
No, I thought so.
I wasn't going to tell you.
Yeah, Hall and Rodriguez are not going to make the big league club, which, you know, leads to the reasonable skepticism that there's service time manipulation or whatever going on. What Mike Elias said the other day was just like, no, they didn't pitch that well. Specifically Rodriguez, like, couldn't get out of the fourth inning in spring training, so we're not going to have him make his debut when he's not pitching well. But it's like when you do the hard tank, right? Like, you don't get the benefit of the doubt as you make decisions coming out of it. And I think that will be a very interesting intellectual sort of exercise as the Orioles, you know, move into this next phase. But I think in a pure, like, aesthetic perspective, as Grant said, like, they're going to be fun to watch. They got a lot of good young players, like, on the position side. So that should be, you know, entertaining.
When Cedric Mullins is the hardened veteran, speaking of fun players to watch, right? I mean, this is, dude, they're dynamic. They're like Cleveland in that way. Like, there's just a bunch of players up and down the roster where you're like, man, I'd watch this guy play. And yeah, if they were playing alongside Cleveland, that would be a lot more interesting as far as like where they would place in the division. Unfortunately, they're in the East, but, you know, credit to them. Like, there's no guarantee that tanking works. There isn't, but it certainly seems like they are on the right track and that they're going to hit on a few of these guys, and that's a good thing.
It seems like for every five tanking teams, there's one Orioles that all of a sudden has amassed all of these top prospects at once, and the other teams are like, oh man, oh nuts, we missed. The Orioles have that right now. Now, I will say that they're playing a funny game with Grayson Rodriguez because it's one thing when you have a 21-year-old hitter, because you can project their prime out 5, 6, 7 years. You can say, you know, when he's 27, he should be the best version of himself. With pitchers, you're not guaranteed that this stuff is going to be there next year, that he's going to have as many bullets next year, 2 years, 3 years. If you're playing a service time game with pitchers, I don't know if I like that, because you just want those bullets in your rotation now.
And this is what Mike Elias said yesterday, is they're not manipulating service time. He didn't pitch well this spring. The problem is that when you behave in this sort of fashion, you know, for 4 or 5 years leading up to this, right, people just don't believe you. And that's what I'm talking about with, like, the benefit of the doubt. Because, like, I would suspect that if Rodriguez came out and looked really good, he'd be in the rotation. That's more or less what Elias said. Like, they know that, you know, I think they understand that pitchers are different than hitters. It just seems like in this specific case, he hasn't pitched well. So they don't want him to make his big league debut when he's not pitching well, when they have other guys on their roster with big league experience. They don't want to send that message to the clubhouse. The problem is that when you've conducted yourself in a certain way, the public is just like skeptical of it. And that's one of the downsides of the hard tank.
Can I read you a quote from Michael Elias about Rodriguez? Quote, he was not ready to jump into a major league rotation, just getting not past the fourth inning. And we know what he's capable of. I wasn't expecting this. We were hoping he would show up as a better version of himself. End quote. I hate that last sentence. I don't think that should be said about a 21-year-old pitcher. I don't know. Like, we were hoping he'd... It makes him sound like a dullard who wasn't doing the off-season training regimen or something.
Well, they wanted him to pitch better. He didn't play well. They're disappointed. It's professional sports.
That's why I couldn't make it. That's why I topped out in
this
Division
is why
one.
You never could have played for the 2014-2015 Royals.
No shot. Hit it. But like, you know, this, there it is. Now, this conversation reminds me of something that Andy and I have been talking about of late. And when you look at the sport, right, we're entering this phase where it is very clear that if you're a team like the Baltimore Orioles, that when you like think of all this talent, how much of it are they gonna actually keep for the long term? There are things that you have to do, you know, as far as like confronting this reality, that you're gonna have to behave a little bit differently. And I think what Grant was talking about with Grayson Rodriguez in particular, do you know if this stuff is still gonna be here? That might be one of those places where it's like, hey, you roll the dice with them because you don't know how long you're going to have these guys, especially pitching. You really don't. So, like, why not just deploy it, especially when, you know, Baltimore is in that small market bucket where, I mean, good Lord, they're going to have to pick one of these guys to keep, right? If it all works out well, that's, like, the best case scenario is that the pipeline keeps flowing and one or two of these guys sticks around somehow. Maybe they get lucky and, like, do the Atlanta Braves, like, extend them, you know, when they've had, like, you know, 10 at-bats, right? Like, that sort of thing. Like, my point is, like, you know, they're going to have to operate now in a different way to maximize the window, and sometimes it's in conflict with how they got here to begin with. Right, with the hard tank, they're entering a different phase. They're going to have to start making decisions in a different way and in a different frame. And I'll be interested to see how that part of it plays out. Because like now that you've got him here and like they look like they're on the right track, how are you going to keep him? You know, that's the next challenge for any club. And it's tough for the fans too, right? Like they all know that too. Like it's almost like when I think it was the owner of the Guardians, right? Dolan telling Zach Mizell about Francisco Lindor, enjoy him while he's here. Enjoy, right? Remember that? Like, and I remember thinking, my God, that's harsh. But it was also honest and it was true. So, and like, that's a lot of teams, including the Orioles, that face that. And now they've got a bunch of scenarios here where they might be saying that about Adley Rutschman, you know?
Well, I can think of one way they could keep Rodriguez for an extra year. just takes like 15 days of patience. That's all.
We'll move on from the Orioles, but I can see Bird there ends. Being like if you are concocting how the Orioles make the postseason, can they? Absolutely. There are a lot of different permutations that get them to the postseason, but I also think there is a permutation where they're just short of the postseason and they're looking up and they're like, boy, what if we didn't give X number of starts to Kyle Bradish and we gave him to Grayson Rodriguez from the start. Oh, whoopsie doodle. I don't know, man. Like, I don't...
I would say just to, like, again, and I know we need to move on from the Orioles, but I would say that it is possible that some of the disdain you're perceiving from Mike Elias in that quote is related to him understanding that and him wanting to put the ball in Grayson Rodriguez's hands, and Rodriguez not doing enough to earn it.
All right. We'll move on to the Rays. I love this roster. The Rays, who'd they lose, and who do they get?
Shout out to Sam Miller. Second Sam reference.
Second Sam reference. All right. This is... I look at the Tampa Bay roster and I like a lot of it. I do. I think the bullpen is deep as heck. And then I love watching Jason Adam in the WBC and like this light bulb goes off. Like, wow, he's really good. The Rays, it's like they know what they're doing with pitching. I could see them. They have a range like the Red Sox, but it's both higher. The ceiling's higher and the floor is higher as well.
When I look at this team, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they will probably win somewhere more than 88 games. They could certainly win 100 again like they did a couple years ago. I think that what stops me with them is that their offense, while it will be most likely effective in the aggregate, I just do not see how they're going to score points against elite pitching. They just simply do not have enough players who with contact skills that can, you know, just basically handle the best of the best. And that might not show up until October, but I just feel like there's just too much, like there's too many guys batting 240 and getting on base enough and hitting for enough power that it's like you look at the aggregate and you're like, whoa, like 115 OPS plus, like good club. But I just don't know, like outside of, you know, really, I mean, I guess Randy Arozarena and Wander Franco, like who's the guy who's going to hit a big home run off an elite reliever in the eighth inning of a postseason game? I just don't know. I could be wrong, obviously, but that feels to me like a flaw within the club and one that is difficult to correct given how they want to spend. Although, you know, they weren't able to sign Freddie Freeman. They haven't been able to sign like DJ LeMahieu. They've made good faith offers, it seems like, for elite hitters. But like, and they have all these good effective players who catch the baseball, who fit into all the different things they want to do, but they just don't have like the superstar type hitter who you can call upon in October, I feel like.
When you're saying that they'll do a lot of things well and they'll get on base, that's where I'm more concerned about is when you start going after Rosarena and Brendan Lau, you start getting to some maybe 310, 300, 290 on base percentage. Jose Siri doesn't get on base. Christian Bethencourt doesn't get on base. Manuel Margot traditionally doesn't get on base. I can see them having a base runner problem where they just don't have enough guys to knock in. They have some power up and down the lineup. Like, I really like a lot of these players, but I do wonder. But I also will expect them to just pull something out of their butt. You know what I mean? Like, just all of a sudden, you know, it's not like we were talking about Harold Ramirez last year. They just pulled Harold Ramirez out of their butt. And the Rays are good at doing that. They're one of those teams that every year they'll get a Judd Winston. And all of a sudden you're like thinking, wow, I'm thinking about Judd Winston. Not a real player, by the way. But maybe he is. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll see it. I mean, they got, you know, Garrett Clevenger and Pete Fairbanks and Jalen Beeks. I mean, they're, you know, they're in the name game.
Jalen Beeks, that's a great name game. Look, I think what's going to be really helpful for these guys is that there's fewer division games that they're going to have to worry about. They get to take their run prevention machine on the road and go ahead and choke out the Royals a couple of times. Squelch the Colorado Rockies for, like, I mean, I think that's going to be a massive impact on these guys because the thing that they do well travels. They will prevent runs. All right.
That's a great point.
There's no question about it. So that said, I think Andy's read on it is spot on because when you imagine the lineup that you're looking at with these guys in October, right? And even if they all maxed out and had like just about the 95th percentile outcome, like it's still not enough to like give you confidence that that guy is going to hit a home run off of like some nasty fire-breathing reliever in the eighth inning, right? And that's what it takes to win in the playoffs, period. Somebody has to do that for you. Now, where I'm curious is, I wonder if they're positioned enough or well enough to go and get something that approximates that at the deadline. And I say approximates because they're not going to get the superstar, whatever. But what we're really talking about is just somebody with like a power hitting pedigree that isn't going to shy from the moment. And as we get kind of closer to it, obviously their teams will declare themselves out of it. And maybe there's a pool of players that these guys can go pluck and infuse a little bit of that into their lineup. And I kind of wonder, given how well they prevent runs and have done it historically, if even that would be enough to nudge them over, right? Because like, as I listen to Andy, he's right. But I also think the gap isn't that wide, right? From like, again, they're never going to have, we're not talking about the Padres, right? Where like the top four guys like scare the crap out of you. It's not going to be that. But you just need one or two that you can be like, yeah, I can see him popping a ball out there in that spot. And that's not that hard to get. It's not that hard. It's not that wide a gap to close.
given all the things they do well run prevention wise, and given the way that they have turned that into something of a perpetual motion machine where it just like it's always seems to work, I did feel like they should have been more aggressive last summer for Juan Soto, even if they would have had to maybe try and flip him again this summer if it wasn't working. But I just felt like that made sense so much for their roster. But, you know, they, like majority of the sport, looked at the prices and were like, that's crazy. and so, like, that's, you know, can't fault them for that, because I think that might have been the rational course of action. But I feel like that, you know, it's pretty easy. Just get Juan Soto. Like, that's all you're a Juan Soto away. But I think that when you just look at it, there's just clearly a lack of a star hitter. But maybe Wander Franco becomes that. Maybe Randy Rosarena, you know, like really puts it together. Who can say?
Yeah, I just will say that I've heard a lot of phrases that I like in discussion with the Rays run prevention machine and choking other teams out. Like that's going to be their plan. They are just going to... It's like the Guardians last year. You know, maybe not as much of vroom-vroom on the bases, but catch the ball, pitch the ball, miss bats, hope for something good to happen. And I think that's going to be pretty darn good, at least in the regular season. The postseason, yeah, you make some good
They're
points.
They're going to just beat up a bunch of crappy teams by keeping them to two hits and one run every night. Right, they're going to go into Oakland, sweep the series, and Oakland maybe make contact twice. Like that kind of thing. I mean, you know, it's going to be like, look at the bottom part of the league and the way the Rays are built. Oh my goodness. It's just like feeding like wood into a chipper. All right. Like that's what it's going to be. So I think that helps like give them some buffer, you know, and they're not having to do that with like, you know, Toronto as often or New York as often, which, you know, like that's, as we know, the way the game is played, that takes a chunk out of you when you go through those places. All right. Like those bullpens, like their bullpen, right? And this is something with the Rays that just amazes me. Like they're giving it all they got to try to hold those offenses down. There's a price to pay when you're coming out of New York and coming out of Toronto. Well, they're not paying that much that toll this year. And I think that's going to help them out big time.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, now we're going to move on to, let's vote on this, I think. We've got Blue Jays, Yankees. Who's got a second place team? I will be the deciding vote if you guys disagree. So who's up for Blue Jays?
For second place?
Yeah, second place.
No, I don't have the Blue Jays for second place.
Whoa.
I don't have the Blue Jays for second place.
All either, right, let's discuss the New York Yankees.
Let's just move on to the Yankees.
I love Canada. No.
It says that the Chiron says breaking Mark hates Canada. He was predicting the Blue Jays for first place. Gosh.
Also, it's my favorite road country. Get your facts
straight.
You know how
vicious Canadians are?
God.
Put that on them.
It's a lot of microaggressions I'm going to get from them.
Breaking. Mark loves Canada on the Chiron now. There we go. All right, let's talk Yankees. And again, there's no wrong answer. Like, come on. It's not like I'm just going to put, this is my lock of the season. And, you know, the Yankees are done. You heard it here. No, it is excellent team. A fantastic team. They're missing already. Franky Montas, Carlos Rodon is going to be out for a little bit. You've got Harrison Bader's got one of them freak oblique tweaks, and they missed him a lot last year. You know, the top part of their lineup, everyone's over 30. You know, you've got Josh Donaldson, you've got Anthony Rizzo, DJ LeMahieu. I'm not going to predict doom for any single one of them. It doesn't feel as, you know, I can just see a lot of different permutations going wrong for the Yankees. That's the only thing. Fantastic team, but your mileage may vary.
You don't need to squint to see where this goes sideways. And I think that is what, when I look at him, that's essentially the same offense that can't touch the Houston Astros. They're 1 year older, but it's pretty much the same. The player that was supposed to change the dynamic was Carlos Rodon. Also hurt all the time. And now going to start the year hurt. So where did they like get way better is my question. Now, that said, that they won 99 games. I get all that. I get all of that. But they didn't fundamentally improve. And like, by the way, they were relatively healthy last year.
That's not true.
Dude, Judge played pretty much start to finish. When does that happen? When can you
bet? The year before?
On this guy.
The year before?
Posting all the... Oh, okay. Look at the injuries the last couple years before. Come on.
Mark, we litigated this. They paid him $360 million.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Rodon was not the player who was going to change the dynamic. The player who's going to change the dynamic is DJ LeMahieu. It's Anthony Volpe. It's Cabrera. It's Peraza. It's stuff that they already had that they didn't, that was either not ready or not healthy. Now, will LeMahieu stay healthy? Who can say? Probably not. He's a year older. To their credit, they are giving the shortstop keys to Anthony Volpe and basically saying, you're going to be, you know, we want you to be like Jeremy Peña last year. Or, you know, if you listen to talk radio, we want you to be like Jeter. Volpe's a superstar prospect type. Has all-star, you know, ceiling, potentially MVP ceiling, all that stuff. You know, looked the part, played great all spring. They had an open competition. He won it. Now, like, is that going to be enough to get them past Houston? Who can, you know, I don't know. Like, I guess we'll find out. But, like, the argument wasn't, oh, we're bringing in Carlos Rodon, and, like, that's what's going to change it. They brought in Carlos Rodon because they biffed the Franky Montas trade and got Montas instead of Luis Castillo, and so they needed a number two, and they could afford it. Now, the pitching has obviously taken some hits, I will bet on their run prevention machine to remain upright despite the injuries.
Okay. I am skeptical of their run prevention machine as far as once you get past a certain point, I think that they do a lot of things well. I don't know if they've reached run prevention machine tier like Astros, Rays, Dodgers. I would put them one tier below that, and maybe Johnny Brito is going to be great. Maybe Clark Schmidt is going to do great things in filling in for Montas and Rodon, but I think they're just one tier below, and when you're one tier below, it doesn't take too many dominoes to fall to where you're like looking up and like Jeff Supone's back on a one you know week deal or something like that. So I don't know. Like I'm skeptical of that.
They'd have Javier Vasquez back before Jeff Supone. But like, look, let me be clear. There's Yankee fans probably just losing their minds listening to this.
Excellent team.
This is a great team.
Great team.
We are talking first, second place. They're going to make the playoffs again. Again, they're going to be great. I also think, and this is why I've got him in second place, those questions are too big for me to squint away. All right? Like, the pitching depth is already taking a hit. And, like, I give him credit. They put a lot of time and energy and resources into trying to build this machine. And I think they've had good results. They're a good team that's 1 year older. And with these guys, health is just always going to be at the forefront. I think that's why it's important that they are, to their credit, infusing their roster with younger players. They're sort of breaking from historical precedent to do it. Anthony Volpe, obviously, his promotion is a big step forward for them. It's a little bit different than how they've behaved in the past. That's all great. But like now you're inviting all of the other question marks that come with young players. So Volpe's ceiling is what it is. Everyone sees it. God, that's a lot. Man, that is a lot for anybody to walk into, to be holding down a lineup spot for the team with the expectations that high all the time. And, you know, and I think, and this is my bias, like I'm from the Bay Area, but I live here now, the New York area. Boy, it is different, man. The way they care about the sport here and the way like people go crazy for this stuff, there's another layer to it. And, you know, the kid's from here. Volpe's from New Jersey. That will help. Like, it's not totally unfamiliar what kind of stuff goes on. That said, he's 22. It is so much, right? So, like, that. Now, they're good enough where, like, if he struggles or whatever, like, they've got different options, right? Andy's mentioned him. Peraza's sitting there waiting in the wings. Like, they can figure something out. Having younger players in here to mitigate some of the age is a big deal. But that's just a few too many question marks for me when we're talking about winning a division and finishing in second place.
Now, you say that New York fans care about baseball a little bit differently. Here in the Bay Area, we care about, like, apps a lot more than you guys do. We care about Series 1 funding just way more. So, you know, we all have our quirks. All right, we're going to move on to the Blue Jays, who apparently are the plurality favorite of the, or majority favorite of the round table. Blue Jays, I like staring at their roster. Like, that's just how I can put it, is I look at their lineup and go, ooh, And then I look at the rotation and go, ooh, not so much the bullpen, but that's a classic Blue Jays, classic. I really like what they're doing with their lineup. They have three catchers that might be, like, top 10 catchers in baseball, which seems rude. You know, one of them happens to play a mean center field, which is also rude and possibly illegal. But I just like how their lineup flows. I like how the rotation flows. I'm all in on the old Blue Jays.
I love their winter. I really liked what they did. I mean, I think it was a clear that they were emphasizing getting better at preventing runs, right? And they sacrificed some offense to do that, trading Teoscar Hernandez. They brought in the fella Swanson from the Mariners, supposed to be pretty good. They play up way up in the Pacific Northwest, and those games are all pretty late. Varsho is a dude. Varsho, it seems like they're going to play him in left, and Kiermaier's going to play center, which it'll shift, you know, as the days goes along, right? Because they'll have Springer bouncing around and stuff. But Varsho is a great player. That was a classic challenge trade with the D-backs. They gave up a lot to, you know, get back a real legit player. We'll see how, you know, if, like, the rotation Manoa had a great season. You know, Gausman has kind of proven he is a legit sort of number two, number three starter. Bassett is more of a back-end guy who I think, you know, has numbers that look kind of number three-ish, but is probably closer to four or five. Barrios just stunk last year. Kikuchi is stunk. Like, they have incredible stuff, and you could, that's a, if this is the theme of the show, if you squint and see, like, why the Blue Jays win 102 games, it's because those guys, you know, perform the way that their ability suggests is possible. I feel like that is a little uncertain. I don't know. I mean, I'm not exactly sure why I think the Yankees are better, but I just kind of do. And I think the rosters were relatively similar last year, although, you know, the Blue Jays did get better in certain aspects. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It's first time for everything.
Look, the key here, and you already said his name, is Jose Barrios. But God, that is... last year was brutal for him. Brutal, all right? Like, just way out of line from what he's done in the past. If that dude's a three, I think that's... You know, when he's pitching well, that's sort of where he slots right in there, maybe two, whatever. Like, that's where he's at. Oh, man. Like, this team, that's that 102 win scenario to me, is that Jose Barrios comes out and just pitches like he has most of his major league career. So that's one element of it. I love the trades. Andy hit it. Like, the run prevention emphasis is a big deal for these guys, and maybe that helps Barrios. I don't know, right? Like, maybe that was part of, like, his regression last year, but I mean, then you watch, like, the firepower in the lineup. It's scary. And, like, this is you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is so good that when you look at the narrative of 2022, it's like, man, he was a little bit down, not quite the same, whatever. He had a 135 WRC plus. 135. And, like, we're talking like he was a failure of some kind. So that's the kind of high-level sort of talent that exists on this lineup. When we talked about the Rays a couple minutes ago, not having the scary bats, well, the Blue Jays have him. Okay, like, these are some big, scary dudes that come October you can see changing, you know, a game with one swing. I realize not a great playoff experience for them last year. All right? Like, not great, all right? But, like, I think this also fits sort of with their progression. This group is sort of, like, not linear because it never is, but you can see them kind of taking steps. And this, for me, feels like the year they put it together. They got the tools to do it. They had obviously a really specific plan going into the offseason and then executed it really well. They improved in some key areas. Got better from the left side, right? Like, they got a little bit of help hitting from the left side. So, like, and then obviously with the run prevention. And Swanson, who you mentioned earlier, and this bullpen, they needed swing and miss. He's a swing and miss guy. Now their bridge to Romano is a little bit stronger. And obviously that's an easy area for them to target to improve as we get closer to the deadline. So whatever, when you squint and look for the deficiencies with them, it feels like it's stuff that they can resolve relatively easily, but they've got all the big stuff. They got the big scary bats. Manoa's great, man. Not only is he, like, he's fun to watch and, like, lets it all hang out and all that, also really good at what he does. Right? Like, just a great, great pitcher. So I like him a lot. It's impressive because this division's difficult. The Yankees are formidable. I do love Canada, as the Chiron says. That is true. But I think the Blue Jays had a hell of an offseason. And from top to bottom, this is the class of the division.
Maybe I'm just a simple man. Some might call me a poor baseball analyst. Some might say that I don't know what I'm talking about. But I look at the Blue Jays roster and I see Bo Bichette, Vlad Jr., and Alejandro Kirk, all 25 or younger, and they're already freaking awesome. And I just think that there is another level, and that shelf to that another level is a little bit lower, and they're able to step up on a little bit easier than some of the other teams. Maybe most of the teams in baseball, where all of a sudden you've got these guys who are already really good, and then you turn around and it's like the, you know, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but it's like the 76 Reds or something. It's like, oh my gosh, all these guys are freaking awesome now. They're not just good, they're awesome. I don't know, but that is my bias toward youth.
Dude, you're talking about Alejandro Kirk catching, to have also Danny Jensen there. I mean, are you kidding? Like, being able to get the kind of offense they're going to get from the catcher spot, partly because, like, they're not having to run Kirk out there, like, all that, right? Like, they can mix him in the DH spot because you've got Jansen there, just like the Braves do with their setup and Murphy and Darnell. I mean, it's tremendous. Like, to get big-time offense from that spot is huge, especially when you're playing in a really difficult division like the Blue Jays are.
All right, we are now going to move on and close with our World Series predictions. Do you guys think about World Series predictions, or are you like me scrambling for them right now, furiously just like looking at 30 teams and going, have you thought about this like all off season?
I mean, yeah, but mine are like, it's very simple every year. I just pick the two best teams. Like, I don't make it complicated at all. I just like, who are the two teams that I think are the best?
That makes sense. That makes sense. So who you got?
I have the Braves and the Astros.
Sounds pretty good.
I mean, they're the two best teams. Like, here's for a minute of discussion or so. Do you think our job in when we make predictions should be to be get things right or to be interesting?
Oh, fun question.
I mean, you're not going to get them right because baseball doesn't let you. Like, it's so I go interesting. Yeah, I'm going interesting. Totally. I'm here for the content.
Totally.
Okay, so what we're saying is we don't believe in this. We're just kind of making shit up.
Well, it's baseball, right? Yeah. Like, come on.
Have you not followed my career?
Have you not followed the round table?
Yeah.
Are you new around here?
I don't know.
In that vein, all right, like to be interesting. And Grant, I know you'll appreciate this. That's nice. You'll appreciate this, like, because I know that I think you and I are very similar in that there's a historical bent a part of why we like the sport, like, you know, your San Diego Padres being cursed situation, all that. Like, I'm very much the same way. So from that sort of, you know, borrowing a page from that book, how about some Braves Blue Jays World Series throwback? Let's get a rematch from back in the day. Let's do that. Like, if we want to be interesting and also, like, it, you know, it's a credible prediction, these are two really good teams. I'm going Toronto versus Atlanta for the World Series.
Yeah, I think that is a very, very good World Series pick. I think Astros Braves is a really good pick. I'm going to I'm going for the content. I'm going interesting, and I'm just going to keep picking the Padres to win the World Series until they freaking do it.
Yes,
or until I die. Then I got to pick someone who's like a kind of interesting and who's not the Blue Jays, because I want to pick the Blue Jays, but you guys pick the Blue Jays. Let's go full Eddie Vedder Cup. Let's go the Eddie Vedder World Series. Let's go Mariners, Padres. Do I believe the Mariners are even the best team in the West? No, but I also believe that the Phillies weren't the best team in the National League last year either. There's going to be some sort of postseason goofiness that gets one weirdo team in there. I think it's one of these teams is going to go head-to-head together, and it's going to be like the Giants and Rangers in 2010, where both teams really have suffered a long time for decades and decades without a championship, and then one of them is just going to have to go home really, 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 really sad. I'm going to ding myself for mentioning the Giants.
Thank you, Brian.
But I don't know. I'm going to go Padres-Mariners because it's fun. And what am I doing here if I don't like to have fun? I like having fun with you guys.
Yeah. I am conflicted about that. The interesting versus accurate. Not that my prediction is, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like saying this is what's going to happen. It's just like, what do I feel like is the most likely outcome or whatever? Because sometimes they'll be like,
that's not breaking.
You'll get like a prompt that's like, which team that didn't make the playoffs last year is going to make it this year? And you're kind of like, I don't know. They all stink. Like, what? Like, who knows?
Okay. How about this? Let's end on this note, since it was the theme of the show. How about the squinting World Series?
Ooh.
Okay. Like the two teams where you squint the shit out of it. And like, here are the two teams that are in the World Series. I got one for the American League already. The Baltimore Orioles. Let's do some squinting. All right. Whoa. Screw it. Squint hard. See it. It's been a long time
muscles.
For them. 1983?
How about this?
Come on, let's go.
If you had to pick a team that required both squinting and decent eyesight, I think it would be the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Ooh. Okay.
Because you have to squint, right?
You're right.
You have to squint. Mm-hmm. But then if you see it and it actually works the way they say, you're like, oh, God, they're going to just keep winning forever.
Man, yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call.
All right, gale force winds just blew open my back door, so I think that is a great time to end it, because that has never happened before. So this is fun. AL East, it's a fun division. I'm looking forward to it. And now we're going to be doing this every week. We're back on a regular schedule, baby. You're going to get all of the hot takes, all of the, frankly, astute analysis that we offer and we're known for. So looking forward to it. All right, this has been episode 42 of the Baseball Roundtable. We will see you next week, and we'll have actual baseball games to talk about. We'll see you then. Not that fake WBC stuff. is this a hot mic? Is this a hot mic? I'm just kidding.
Hater.